We're getting you ready for pro football's postseason.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs.
This is a wild card week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday, Wild Card Weekend. Let's go. We're going to dive into all the fancies that will come with Wild Card Weekend coming up. But let's get this Blazers road trip wrapped up. Yeah, 5-game roadie, go 2-3 on it. Too many wins for Rust. He doesn't like those two wins. Mm-mm. But the Blazers came crashing back down to earth after... Now are people going to panic fourth quarter was?
Well, no, that's exactly what happened. Oh, my God, what is Anthony Simons doing? What is Shane Sharp doing?
Well, they did not play well in the fourth quarter last night.
No, and it's just, it's so, lose every game, but also when you lose every game, I'm going to be a maniacal d-hole about how they lost said game, even though it was a close game. It's like, you can't, like, it's just like, it's such a miserable experience, just whether they win, whether they lose, and it's just like, can we fast forward through the tanking phase? This is just getting so maniacally dumb.
What was weird about last night is Scoot getting to the free throw line 12 times because they just, whether it's he hasn't been getting calls or hasn't been as aggressive, we have not seen that kind of...
Well, they had to give it to somebody last night because they weren't giving it to anyone else.
No, they really weren't. But it was that's what was interesting was that Scoot was getting all the calls, but he was aggressive. And,
he was.
The Blazers... put up a good fight, but I think those are the games that if you are a fan of the tank, that situation against that team is one that you could have peeled off a victory and you didn't.
No.
And it was the ethical tank.
Yes. At the ethical end. Tanking has been happening because no Luka, no Kyrie
for those that didn't watch and that are not following the NBA right now. The two best players were gone.
Let's say you flip the wins. You lose to the Pelicans, but you beat the Mavs. Sure, that makes sense from like a tanking standpoint because it would elevate the Pelicans, give them a win. Mm-hmm. But the reaction from the fan base, if they had lost to whatever you want to call that Pelicans team, Chauncey needs to go, Jody sell the team, get rid of all of it. It's just the same tired tropes that we've heard over and over and over again. They went 2-3 on a road trip. They beat a good team in the Bucks. Like they... Two, Denny and Shea have put together their best weeks of basketball in Portland. Mm-hmm. I think that's without, and you could probably throw Chris Murray in that as well. Donovan Clingan had his second best game of his young career last night. Good things came out of this trip.
Yeah, and the young guys are developing and growing. And like for everybody that is on fire, Chauncey, look, I will still say, there isn't a reason right now to do it. You get nothing out of it because what we are still seeing is growth and development of young players. If that were to go completely sideways and this team starts playing and it has the body language and vibes of the New Orleans Pelicans, then is when I would say, yeah, I agree. Maybe midseason firing needs to happen. You're not seeing that right now.
No, they're playing the best basketball of the season.
Yeah, so... And maybe that's why people, but that's, you become a dysfunctional organization if that's what you do.
If you're firing him because they're showing the development that you all want, that's the thing is like people want to say, I want development, but also losses. Those are incongruent.
Yeah. So you're going
to you're going to get a win. You're going to peel off a win that you're not supposed to.
And you're going to get games like the New Orleans one where you look really damn good against a team that has quit, right?
Yeah.
But I will say for those that are on the fire him in the middle of a season when you're seeing players grow and you're seeing young players develop, that is the easiest way to run off any potential head coach of the future. Because any young head coach would just be like, why would I want to go there? Like, he was doing what they asked him to do organizationally, and they fired him for it.
To add on to the Pelicans, Shams Charania. Herb Jones has a torn labrum in his right shoulder, so the injury he suffered against the Blazers, he is out indefinitely. That place is cursed.
It is New Orleans.
I mean, Dyson Daniels, that's what he said when he left. He's like, that place is built on a burial ground. That place is cursed. There's something.
Well, you know what the Saints did, and it coincided with like their turnaround. They really did bring in like a voodoo person.
Did they?
And, yeah, to the Superdome.
They need to exercise whatever demon they have because
they
my
need to do that.
God, this is insane.
Like, they need to do it right now. Maybe the Blazers should hire that voodoo person to go and do that little seance.
Need Kyrie
thing.
To come out here and burn some sage?
Well, they need to do that because then if the curse is lifted now and they start maybe peeling off some wins, then the Blazers draft lottery odds get better. So
do something, man, because goodness gracious, that's ridiculous. And Herb Jones is a fun, good player. That sucks to see that happen. But as it pertains to the Blazers, you know, they're going to come home for a couple of games, then they're going to go out for a couple of games, and then they think they have a 7 or 8 game homestand before the end of the or before excuse me, going into the All-Star break.
Ooh.
And for everybody's like, I want to see Scoot play more minutes. I want to see Donovan play more minutes. I want to see this. Give me 28 days.
All right.
Give me 28 days.
For those wondering at home, the Blazers' remaining strength of schedule with 45 games to play.
Fifth toughest in the
league. Seventh toughest in the NBA.
On Tankathon there, if it's with on positive residual, it's fifth.
But it is tied with their win percentage of opponents at 5-11, with Cleveland, Sacramento, and then Portland, which are 5-6-7. But
who has the easiest schedules remaining?
Toronto, Washington, Orlando, and Boston. Okay. Oh, great.
So
Boston.
You get Toronto and Washington. If they have an easier schedule, is there a chance that they peel off a win or two?
Probably.
Yeah.
Charlotte is 25th. Yeah.
You're not going to catch those two teams, to be
Utah
clear.
Utah is 18th.
But that's the thing. It's like, Portland still has a very difficult schedule to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they won 3 more games than anybody expected.
New Orleans has the 4th toughest schedule remaining.
I mean, they are, look, with these injuries, they're just a dumpster.
The Blazers have 2 games against Cleveland, 2 against Oklahoma City, 2 against Boston. They have the Rockets, 2 against the Knicks, and the Memphis Grizzlies remaining. They also do have the true bottom feeders, where here's where Portland can really, you know, make up some games. Mm-hmm. They got 8 games remaining combined. They have 2 apiece against the Wizards, Raptors, Hornets, and Jazz. You can make up some good games there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a 2-game swing. They get a win, you take a loss. Let's go.
The place they need.
Let's unethically tank those
ones. Well, that's the thing is, come post trade deadline, when they pivot, as they are wont to, that's when the winning percentages go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the nasty stuff happens and they lose to everyone.
Yeah.
That's what you have to look at. And that's why I've said so much. Like, you take a look at cleaning the glass right now. The expected win totals for the Portland Trailblazers this year, based on their net rating, 21.1.
Dude.
21.1. Their expected win total based on their net rating so far is 9.5. They have outplayed their net rating by 3.5 games.
Dang.
Second best in the NBA.
Oof.
So, yeah.
So good.
Here's the thing, holistically, not just as it pertains to the Trailblazers. When you're in these rebuilds and you're a bad team, and you have a game within 5 points within 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
where the dice fall is where the dice fall. Because if your young guys are going out there and showing, would you rather them lose game and Shaedon Sharpe looks like crap? And you're sitting there going, Scoot doesn't look good. Donovan's been hurt.
Yeah,
Two's nice, but, you know, he's not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if Shaedon is out there and giving you 20 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, and being aggressive and showing more, and it leads to a win more, or a win or two more, isn't it exactly what you want? Because now you can go, hey, he's up for a contract extension, and I want to willingly give him one.
All right. Yeah, I'm with that.
That's what happens in this stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the games the Blazers have won and lost, Dusty, with the exception of that Pelicans game, go look at the games they won and see how much they've won by. They aren't beating teams off the floor. They're getting in these situations and stuff is going their way. Think about how many game winners they've had.
Yeah. How many have they had?
4.
They've had 4 game
Ant's
winners?
Ant's had 2, Scoot's had 1, and Shaedon had the quasi-1.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I remember Scoots, and then I remember one of Ant's. I don't remember. All right. Well, hey, not too shabby. All right. Blazers lost. You people that are hoping for the tank, you got your wish last night. And they were leading through three and then fell apart in the fourth. So that's how it goes. Next up, the Miami Heat come to Portland tomorrow. Things are fine there. Jimmy Butler literally posted a video at his coffee company saying, hey, you're doing a good job to this kid. He's like, you see what I did there? I complimented you. That's what good leadership does. Mm. They compliment you for your good work and look directly into the camera. Shots fired at Pat Riley. This is fine.
I told you he was going to make this more toxic than you could possibly imagine.
Everything's fine here. Nothing to worry about. All right, let's get into our previews of NFL Wild Card Weekend. It gets underway tomorrow with the Chargers at the Texans. Justin Herbert's been nails this season. Just how good has he been? Danny Dusty on the Fan. Chargers-Texans get the Wild Card Weekend underway tomorrow, 1:30 on CBS and Nickelodeon. You can have, it's the SpongeBob game on Nickelodeon.
Oh, good. My kids might watch it with me then.
When did they stop calling Gak slime? Or when did they stop calling...
When did they stop calling Gak. It slime and start calling it Gak?
No, they called it Gak back in the day when I was a kid. Nickelodeon sold Gak, and now it's just slime. When did that happen?
I always thought it was just slime.
No, it used to be something different. Yeah, I don't know. But it's the slime game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which means
what you just said would have gotten you slimed on. You can't do that on television.
That's right. That also means we're going to have an MVP this week. The Nickelodeon's valuable player. So, get ready for that. Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud, the quarterback matchup. That's a good QB matchup.
Yeah.
That we have wild card weekend. Have you seen how good Justin Herbert's been this year?
Yeah, it's number one in the league off of play action.
Uh-huh.
I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
His efficiency, I think it's his best efficiency year of his career. Isn't it also his lowest interception rate?
Well, he's done something that only one other player in NFL history has done. He has over 500 attempts this season and only three interceptions. No.
It's like a 1.1 interception rate or something like that?
The only other player to do that is Aaron Rodgers.
And that's
they are the only two players to have over 450 attempts and three or fewer interceptions. I mean, think of that. Herbert has 54 over that mark, like where this stat kind of begins at 450 or more attempts and only three or fewer interceptions. That is crazy. And when you think about how good he's been on the road this year, this is why I have more faith in the Chargers right now, is Justin Herbert has been nails on the road. He has a 10 touchdown to zero interception ratio on the road this year. Of his three picks, none of them have been on the road. He has been really stinking good on the road. And obviously it starts with the ability to run the ball and can they run the football? But against a team like Houston. Houston has not performed well against really good defenses, let alone just playoff teams in general. I went and I started looking into CJ Stroud's numbers against playoff teams, and it's been put out there a lot that right now, and Rust, you alluded to this yesterday when we were doing our picks, right? The Texans have played six playoff teams this year. Their point differential in games against playoff teams is minus 66. So they're losing those games by an average of 11 points per game. They're 1-5 against playoff teams. The Texans are. 1-5. Their one win was against Buffalo in week 5.
Which they had the tougher schedule this year after having a successful season last year.
Yep.
I don't want to make excuses for them, but in those losses, how many of those are when that team was just littered with injuries? Because that Texans team was beat to hell.
Well, I will send you to week 16 against Baltimore where they lost 31-2.
It's fair.
I mean, it's
That was an embarrassing game.
Week 3, they lost by 27 to Minnesota. Their one win against a playoff team was against Buffalo. But you have to remember that was when they that win was when they were fully healthy. Nico Collins, they had Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Stephon Diggs.
How many
Diggs went for 82? Collins went for 78 yards in that game. I mean, but the eye popping stats is that CJ Stroud against playoff teams this year has 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Yes. And has been sacked 20 times.
That's the part about it. Is that him? Is that the line? Is that coordinator? You know,
their offensive line's been dreadful this year.
It has been. And I wanted to take a look at how many bad losses they've had this year. 34-7 at the Vikings. They got throttled.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm just going to go through their losses. 1-score, 2-point game on the road at the Packers. On the road at the Jets. 21-13. That's a bad loss. So you've got on the road to the Vikings, on the road to the Jets. You lose by 3 to the Lions. At home to the Titans is a bad loss. Losing to the Titans is a bad loss. 27-19 at Arrowhead.
That game against Detroit was the crazy ending, too.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
And then 31-2 at the Ravens. That's a bad loss. Or at home against the Ravens, just because you got throttled. But You have a tight game with the Lions. You have a tight game with the Packers. You beat the Bills. I mean, yeah. I'm squinting at this. I'm picking up what you're putting down, but also I'm looking at this and going, there's a lot of noise in here because, yes, he's got 5 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He's been sacked 20 times, but also with the exception of those 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
They're in, I mean, obviously they won more games than they lost, but they're in these games and taking care of business. It's kind of weird. Like
Care of business.
Well, I mean,
they're 1-5.
Oh, no. They're 10-7 overall. I'm saying,
it's like 1-5 against playoff teams. When they play good teams, though, they've come up on the short end of the stick and they've been blown out twice and then had an 8-point loss to Kansas City.
The 2 bad
CJ Stroud threw 2 picks. In that game.
Yeah.
And that's where this offensive line, that's where you have the questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, New York, they had that loss to New York.
Yeah, that's a bad loss. That's the inexplicable one.
But
the Ravens and Vikings, yeah, losing those games, but losing in that manner. It's like the other ones, you're like I said, the Lions game, 26-23, you're right there. Like that's a coin toss. The Packers game, you're right there. That's a coin toss. These other ones, you weren't even in the game.
Yeah, and that's where I have the concern, right? Because when come playoff time and in the NFL, anything can happen on any given Sunday, right? Blowouts be damned. Like, you're going to have some blowouts going both ways, right? But how do you consistently perform against the best teams? That's it. They're 1-5. And when you look at the way that some of those games, and most recently that game against Baltimore and how that shook out, boy, there are some real questions and concerns, and it starts up front. And when you do not have an offensive line that is playing particularly well all season long, buddy, you got to be at the best, especially against this Chargers defense, which is one of the best defenses scoring-wise in the NFL. You're going to have to put up points, right? And if Justin Herbert and that Chargers offense can stay on the field, grind you to a pulp with the run game, then keep CJ Stroud off the field, and your offensive line can't protect, that thing can go sideways real quick. See the Baltimore game, because that's kind of what they did. They ran all over them, and they were able to limit CJ Stroud because their front 7 just demolished their offensive line. Like, it could be an interesting game tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised if it went sideways for Houston, just the way that things have kind of shaken out against the cream of the crop in the NFL, though. I mean, it'll be. I'm excited for it because
I really like this game. This matchup is fun. You've got 2 good young quarterbacks. Yeah, they're being shoehorned into that early Saturday game. Blah blah blah. But you have.
I'm here for it.
I think D'Amico Ryans is a very good coach.
Yep.
Like if me as Raiders fan, I would do unfathomable things to have D'Amico Ryans as my head coach.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's a culture guy. I think he's a guy who's learning. I think he's a guy who's growing. Like, I think that's a guy who's going to be a coach for a very long time and be very successful. Whether it's at the Texans or not, I don't know. But he's a guy that I buy into. We know what Jim Harbaugh is. is. Yeah. You've got good coaches. You have a good coach and a phenomenal coach. You've got two very good young quarterbacks. You've got some defensive players that are Danielle Hunter and pick your pass rusher as it pertains to the Chargers. Like, you've got some game break. Like,
that is the scary part. The 20 sacks that C.J. Stroud has taken, he took four to Minnesota, good pass rushing team, four to Green Bay,
good pass rushing team,
four to Detroit,
good pass rushing team,
without Aiden Hutchinson, two, and then five to Baltimore.
Good pass rushing team.
I mean, that is where you, I almost would want to see this game played Denver and Houston, because Denver, their pass rush has been insane. You know the difference between, and we'll get into this when we start breaking this game down. You know how many more sacks Denver has than the next closest team in the NFL?
Is it like 15?
Nine. It's nine.
So somebody did close the gap.
Benito has 13 and a half. Yeah. They got another guy with 10 and a half.
Yeah, so they have a bunch of dudes with sacks. That's the thing. It's like, it's not one guy. It's not Trey Hendrickson. Like, just one guy on the line. Like,
crazy.
No, it's up and down the roster. You're like, what is going on here?
Nine times.
You know, I was going to go a little dark on the worst day in the web, but I've got one that's, how sideways would things have to get, do you think, for you to have to be willing to be diverted 1,000 miles away from your destination? Like, how unruly does a passenger have to be if you're on a plane for you to divert 1,000 miles from your destination?
Okay.
Think about that for a second. And then we'll get to that on our worst day on the web. But first, here's Big Kuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks.
Ryanair, the Irish airline, is seeking over $15,000 in damages, suing a passenger for misconduct that forced a Dublin flight bound for the Spanish island of Lanzarote to divert to Porto, Portugal, which is nearly 1,400 miles away.
Now, it's 1,400 miles from the final destination, right? But it's still online with the path from Ireland to Spain, right?
I'm pulling up the map so I can see.
Wait. Isn't Portugal kind of like southwest?
It's west.
Yeah, but that Iberian Peninsula there.
Yeah.
So you're
connected to Spain.
Yeah. But
I'm guessing this island is more.
It's
like
further south. No, it's much further south. So here's the map so you can see it, Dusty. It's like it's at the southern end of Morocco.
I
thought it was further up in here.
Yeah, it is on the way. They are on the way, but they still landed about 1,400 miles short of the destination, and that is where they needed to pay for
160 passengers overnight food and lodging.
All right. So what do we know what this guy did?
We do not. And that's the thing is like the only thing that is listed is inexcusable behavior. And you know what? This link is lit. So let me see if there is.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say
description
that this is more than, you know, what's her name? Tiffany Gomez. Remember her? That guy isn't effing real at the back of the plane. This is more than that. This is more of drunk, unruly, probably maybe exposed himself, you think?
Could be, yeah.
But here's my problem. Why not? Well, I've seen the photos of where they just duct tape the guy down. Right?
That is a real thing. You may see that pop up in like comedy movies or like Family Guy. They do that. They have that one. Archer. They literally like duct tape each one of them one at a time, and it's like, no, they'll do that.
Yeah. So if you're talking to me, like, what would it take to make the plane divert and land? I mean, if this dude is like dropping a deuce in the middle of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I think at that point we're getting close, because that would just be unbearable smell. Like we had the story of the vomiting, right? Where like multiple people started vomiting. Yeah. Take me 1,000 miles away. I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if a person can be like, unless it's like Conor McGregor, you know, who I'm sitting there like, yeah, he can beat us all up. I don't know if I'm not just taking a look around at the other dudes and be like, hey, do we just want to stop this guy? We could put him in his chair and we can handle this. If we had enough, like, you know, phone chargers, just wrap him up around there and just tie him to the seat. That's a long ways to go. But what I love is that this Irish airline is going to sue the guy for $15,000 because he's the reason why they landed the plane.
Well, I wonder too, like, how many, outside of the forced lodging that you have to pay for all the passengers, what about all the other missed connecting flights connected to, you know?
Well, if this, I think this was a
flight
direct to a small island. Yeah. So I don't know, like, if you're taking any connectors.
No, this was a summer holiday, but it's 160 people get going on their vacation and you made them miss a day. They got, you know, probably charged for a hotel at their spot, and you made them miss a day of their vacation. Now, this is not in, this is the same airline, Ryanair, noticing a trend here with perhaps the Irish. A Ryanair flight was forced to alert authorities of head-on landing in Tenerife. Several passengers became disruptive on board, including one person who reportedly urinated in the aisle.
Man, well, you see, that may be one of the reasons why.
Yeah, because I'm with you. If you're stopping the plane and making me lay over, because I've gone through and like checked multiple links of this article of all the different papers that have it, it all cites the same thing of like unruly and unnecessary. Like,
right.
But what's weird about this is not a single passenger had a cell phone. Like, what's going on here?
So it wasn't just a dude like mysteriously sitting in one of the seats with a skinny black tie and sunglasses and a backpack that looked astonishingly like a parachute.
No.
Oh, no. It's not D.B. Cooper.
No.
No.
Nor D.B. Hooper.
All right. Here's my follow-up question. 100 miles off the coast, right? Isn't that international waters?
Just leave them out there.
Well, at what point does the pilot go, we are now over international waters and we can can handle this unruly passenger as you see fit. And then have a great day.
There we go.
And click.
Yeah. And then you just bonk him over the head and
Dusty, did you just cross over into my world?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've hung around you long enough. I'm just sitting here and trying to figure out, I want my vacation to start on time.
Starting to rub off on.
But let's not act like going to Porto, Portugal is like some awful detour on your flight.
Yeah.
You stop there.
Oh,
and
my God. I'm looking at this place, Lanzarote.
Yeah. Well, you get a night in Porto and then you go on to wherever this place is and you go to your tropical destination. I mean,
I've been all over the world and I've heard of a lot of like smaller island places. I've never heard of this place and it looks incredible. My goodness.
Yeah. Well,
I'd be just absolutely just pushed to the gills if some D-hole made me miss a day in this place. Don't be wrong, Porto's dope, but I don't think Ryanair's putting you up in the Four Seasons.
Well, you got to knock him over the head.
Yeah, you're winding up in the Hojo.
Old Howard Johnson.
What is the international Hojo?
I don't know.
You know?
No.
No?
Hey, they still leave the light on for you at Motel 6.
When's the last time you saw the Motel 6?
Good old Tom Baudet.
I'll leave the light on for you.
It's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, those commercials used to be like, get a room for $19.99. It's like,
think about those actual prices. Huh. That's insane.
Now, here's the one thing that I always wondered about. Yeah. You get some of those rooms like them Motel 6s and the Super 8s and such, and they have the different prices for single occupancy versus double occupancy.
Yeah.
If you're both sleeping in the same bed, what the hell do you care if I got one person or two people's in here? It's a room with one bed.
Got to charge by the person.
No, you don't. Sure, it's a room with a bed.
Well, they only vacuum half the bed.
Yeah.
Don't use the black light. When was the last time you drove by a hotel and saw like the vacancy sign? It's so weird.
No, like, that is a motel, my friend.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, like, you
Holiday Inn.
But you just don't see, like, it used to be so common, yeah. And now that I think about it, you just don't see it anywhere.
I ain't got I-5. You'll catch some on I-5.
Well, as much as I drive down to the Manzanitas, too, there's one there on the main drag into town where they have it. So
coastal
I
cities
see it a lot.
Don't count. Yeah. Coastal cities don't count.
I'm just saying. So
that's like a different planet.
They're stuck in the 80s.
A little bit.
Yeah. That's a different planet. That sign is still from 1973.
Like, I mean, those cities they're stuck in the 80s, aren't they? Like, it's a snapshot of like 1983.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, they've added some internet, but otherwise.
I mean, some internet.
Yeah. A little dial up.
Yeah.
Well, what they need is to upgrade their cell towers. Because I tell you what, you get down there on a busy weekend and you can't call anybody.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
P1 Jordan with a great point on the Vancouver Ford text line. It's a cleaning fee, if you get my drift, if you have one or two people in there.
Well, look.
I mean,
don't tell me that one person can't do a lot of the same damage that two can.
Just don't.
Point taken.
Yeah, don't touch the curtains.
Dude, don't touch anything in those motels. I remember
that's a pretty girl down there. Yeah. I wonder if she dates one of the Yankees.
We checked into a motel one time, and we had vibrating beds in college. I was like, I don't think that
you had the quarter beds.
Yeah, the quarter beds.
Oh man,
this was 2000.
It happened once.
Six. I think it was The Last of a Dying Breed.
Bro.
Yeah. We also had a motel where I had a rotary phone in my room.
Oh.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
That's elite.
Yeah. The old Best Western in Havre, Montana overbooked because they didn't realize that when we booked the team hotel, it was the opening weekend of pheasant season. And
oh, God.
So they started double booking rooms. And so we were the ones that, well, actually half our team. Our defense was playing better, so they got to stay at the Best Western. And I wish I was joking in that. I am not. And so we had to stay at the El Dorado Motel in Havre, Montana, where I literally walked out.
El Dorado, huh?
I walked out of the motel, and I saw a sign, and all it said was Canada, and it had an arrow.
Not a distance, or anything else.
And it wasn't like a highway. It was like a side street. It just said Canada that way. I was like, oh boy, we are in the middle of nowhere.
That's tough.
Yeah. But yeah, we had the TVs had knobs on it, and we had a rotary phone in our room, and it was not connected to the motel. It was across the street.
Holy.
Yeah. I sat down on the bed and went,
yeah, that sounds about right. Like, your A spring.
Where am I?
You don't ask the question you don't want answers to. The Irish, Danny's newly discovered answers is coming through with these flight antics, which you're not wrong. The other part of this, another text, not surprised, back in 2007, it's like a Ryanair flight from Spain to Rome. It costs $7. The passenger get, are not you would call it the elite of society. No, Ryanair is like the Spirit Airlines of the Irish.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, like, think about that for a second. The Spirit Airlines of the Irish.
But they go to those destinations? Maybe
here's the thing. Like, in Europe, though, like, airfare within Europe, basically anywhere in Europe, is dirt cheap.
Yeah, but $7?
Dirt cheap. I'm not kidding, man. Dirt cheap. It just keeps going. Now, flying into Europe, expensive. Flying out of Europe, expensive. In Europe, planes, trains, automobiles, man. All cheap. It's crazy.
Well, most of those are those hostels, too, where Liam Neeson's daughter gets kidnapped, and then, you know, he has to display his variety of skills.
I've seen that documentary. Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Yeah.
True story.
True story.
Is it? Maybe they were Irish travelers. I've learned about this Irish traveler culture. The guy... Paul Bissonnette from Barstool.
Spitting Chicklets?
Yeah, he got into a fight down in Scottsdale with
the bar
seven
fight?
Dudes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and they were Irish, they're called Irish Travelers, where they're like this group of people with Irish heritage.
Mm.
And basically what they do is they go around and they con people. So they'll be like, hey, we'll do like your concrete in your driveway for, you know, half the rate of what they're going to do it for, and you pay us half up front, and then half when we're done, then they just take your money and go. And like that's those are the guys that he got into his fight with.
Oh, so
and
they
basically just go to town. They go to different towns and they travel around. Thus, the traveler's part.
Mm. Gypsies.
Yeah, kind of. And they just go and they raise hell and then rip people off and leave town.
So they had it coming.
It's like a whole like little subculture thing. Maybe that's who's flying on Ryanair.
I like it.
Maybe
like
he was just raising a little hell.
The hooligans.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So that's our worst day on the web. Coming up next. Should we see this trend from more general managers across sports admitting fault? Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Don't see this all too often. General manager Chris Ballard of the Indianapolis Colts has said, my bad. My bad, I got it wrong. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody who wasn't fired saying, I mea culpa, my bad. Chris Ballard, in his press conference, I didn't create enough competition on the roster. That directly falls on my shoulders. I was wrong. I was wrong. Not beating around the bush, not a little minutia, not a little subtlety. Flat out, I was wrong.
Yeah, that's where a guy who has been given the, hey, you're not fired yet, but you better get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the issue with any team that falls short in the NFL, and that's the reality of it, is that depth matters, right? How many times do we call football, you know, the game of the war of attrition,
mm-hmm.
where guys go down and you need to have somebody to step up and be in their place and be ready to go. You can call that enough competition in saying like, hey, we're not pushing guys hard enough, but that it's the same thing. It's building depth in your roster. And also, he's saying the culture of competition he didn't do a very good job of. Because if you look at really everywhere on that roster, except for maybe receiver and quarterback,
mm-hmm.
they do have a significant lack of depth, right? And the only reason why you don't at receiver is because you have A.D. Mitchell, mm-hmm. who's a rookie who you brought in, and he's your fourth receiver. But, and you have Joe Flacco backing up Anthony Richardson, so you were okay there.
Yeah.
With an old guy. Everywhere else, though, they did lack bodies and they lacked depth.
And it showed up.
It absolutely did. And the hard part, though, is that if you are saying I didn't create enough competition by having enough really good players, that's a tough thing to fix and remedy in one off season.
Yeah.
Because you look at the draft and free agency, you're going to get probably two or three free agents that are truly guys that will come in and be competitions type guys. You're going to get two to three guys that are going to become starters. Like, unless you have a haul like, I don't know, the Houston Texans 2 years ago, where they were able to get a dynamite quarterback, the dominant edge rusher, mm-hmm. and then a third round gem in the draft. Like, yeah, okay, that's a really tough thing to do, but he's definitely honing up the pressure on him because they've got to knock it out of the park in the draft and in free agency to build depth because they weren't that far off this year. They were 8-9, and I think the biggest issue is their quarterback position.
Yeah.
I mean, Anthony Richardson, he is not it right
not
now.
It. Yeah.
And it started in training camp. Remember when the Cincinnati Bengals... When the Cincinnati Bengals were mocking Anthony mm-hmm. Richardson and saying, You're not going to throw the ball this way. We know exactly where you're going to throw the ball. And they mocked him in training camp. It played out over the course of the season. And when you look at some of the way that those games went, they got blown out by the New York Giants at the end of the
year. Which is inexcusable.
Yeah, and then you lose, but you had one-score games to Houston, one-score game to Minnesota. You had a one-score game against the Jags, another one-score game against Houston, and a one-score game against Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
You have more depth, and you start flipping a couple of those games.
You win your division.
You flip two of those, you're 10-7, the same record as the team that won the division. If those two wins are only against, and two of those five were against the Texans who mm-hmm. won the division, you're in the playoffs and they're at home.
Tell you, flip one.
Yeah.
You flip one, you're both 9-8, and it's you're going to tiebreakers.
Yep. At that point, yes, you are. But
those are the margins.
And they're not, I mean, Indy is not that far off, but he's got to hit home runs on all of those spots.
I like Ballard. I think it's kind of cool to see this. So
yeah.
It's
just, I like Shane Steichen too. I'm glad they didn't, Ursay didn't panic and just go,
no,
done.
I think you ride with him. And also, turns out Pat McAfee wasn't wrong.
No, he wasn't. He was, well, he called him soft, though, didn't he? Is that what he said?
Yeah, and he said he would transfer portal like three quarters of the roster or something like that. But also, Ballard's kind of saying that.
Almost admitting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. All right, coming up next, it is Football Friday. Let's dive into this wild card weekend game by game here. Coming up next on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.